Amen, motherfuckers.
Amen indeed. Can I get some rationality in the house?
Yeah. I love those guys. That was AWOL Nation, who are slowly becoming one of my new favorite bands right now.
Nice.
That album is awesome. I'm really digging it.
I've never heard them.
It's kind of like almost cheesy 80s pop music in a way, but has a little more energy and anger to it. I don't know. It's really weird. You got to check it out, man.
All right. Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
I'll give you the album to listen to after. But yeah, that was cool. Them. And this is Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere.
Yes, Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere for the first time. Sponsored by
Rip 10. Our good buddy Bryce Wilson from Rip 10 gets us a lot of prizes for our members of the month on our forums and shit like that. He's a super cool guy. And so we got our first sponsor. It's not going to change anything in terms of the Sit Moss.
Well, we're getting so we got these t-shirts.
Yeah, we got these cool t-shirts that they sent us.
They sent us Rip 10 t-shirts. That's not bad.
It's not bad. It's our first kind of...
I can always do with a free shirt, man.
Yeah, why not? Why not, know? Eh? Like I was saying, it's not going to change anything in terms of us and our opinions or anything. These guys are super cool. And
other than whenever they want us to say something in specific, we, of course, bend over and say it, right?
Well, of course. Yeah, there's that. So we got to take
so
that.
So the show remains untouched until they ask for changes, and then...
Then we, of course, make them. No questions asked.
That's sarcasm if nobody's picking up on it.
So, dude, you want to talk about Sony and what's happening?
Oh, my God.
It's chaos, man.
Yeah, unbelievable. Like, it's been down since last Wednesday.
Wednesday? How is it even down for that long? Sorry, for those that don't know, I don't know where you've been, but the Sony PlayStation Network got hacked by... supposedly Anonymous was...
No, we didn't know that until today. All we know is they had the feud with Anonymous going over the GeoHots thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the PlayStation Network goes down, and they say it's because of a security compromise. And no one can log into the PlayStation Network. It's been 6 days now.
Yeah.
And then just today, they released the information. Yes, we were hacked.
Of exactly what happened.
All your personal information has been stolen. Your name, your address, your date of birth, postal code, country, credit card information. Possibly they didn't say credit card information. They said there's no information to indicate that credit card information was stolen, but we are not ruling it out either. So if you want to be really safe, change your credit card, which I did today. I canceled my credit card today and ordered another one. And I'm pretty sure I've never used my real birth date anywhere. I've never seen a reason to do that. So
yeah.
I don't think I used my real birth date. I can't log in and see what personal information I have.
So what's the other dangers other than the whole credit card thing? I guess it'd be like identity theft.
Identity theft. If somebody's got your birthday, your name and your address and one of your old credit card numbers, that might be enough to get a loan under your name. That might be enough to get
and even password. I mean, then they can access other things of your shit if you use the same password, that is.
Yeah, if you use the same password everywhere, that's not a good idea to begin with.
No. Yeah, a friendly reminder out there to constantly change your passwords online.
But I mean, seriously, that's
a good example of why.
This is, in my opinion, why you pay for things. If you don't pay for things, you get inferior performance. Now, I'm not saying the Xbox is impervious to this. I don't know if they are or not. All I do know is it didn't happen on Xbox. It happened on PlayStation. We've complained constantly about their online service.
For a long time. That's what really boggles my mind, man, is that it was down for almost an entire week. What is going on over at Sony that they can't figure that shit out, man?
Well, there was a huge security hole, which means you could just go in and get people's information, and so they shut it down because they haven't fixed it.
So it's not like they didn't. It's not like it's been hacked for that long. That's just as soon as they found out they were hacked, they just shut down the entire network.
Exactly. Yeah. Like nobody was sitting there hacking it the whole time.
Yeah.
They shut it down because they're like, wow, we have to fix this problem. We have to shut everything down until we fix it.
And for the fact that it probably had a huge team working on this because it's such a major issue, and it still took them close to a week to fix, means that there was major problems.
Oh, wait a second. They haven't fixed it yet.
Oh, really? Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. They just announced why. Yeah,
right.
That's right.
They
Sorry.
Took 6 days to let us know, just to let us know that our personal information and credit
card
information.
Which probably means it's going to be a lot longer, man.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, but I can't believe they took 6 days. When that happens, you're supposed to let your customers know immediately.
Yeah.
Your information was stolen. You need to cancel your credit card. 6 days, that's an insane. It's absolutely irresponsible, and I will never, ever put any real information into Sony again. If that means I can't buy things and expansions for my stuff, if I can't get my Mortal Kombat costumes, I'm going to be pissed off.
Well, you know what you should be doing is buying just prepaid credit cards.
Yeah.
You know, just buy a $50 prepaid credit card and put that on there instead.
That's what I'm going to have to do from now on, because I'll never trust Sony again after this.
I do that with both Sony and Xbox, to be honest with you.
Cool. Well, yeah, you're a smart man.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't want to just get recharged automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, I guess for reasons like this, you know.
Yeah. You weren't thinking of that, but it's a good side effect.
Dude, come on. Fuck, I'm a brilliant guy.
Yeah, no, he's a genius.
I think ahead. Man, so Portal 2 and Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, what a good release date last Tuesday was.
Yeah, big week in video games. You can start with Mortal Kombat 2. I didn't pick it up. You did. What
Mortal
are your
Kombat.
Thoughts?
Mortal
yeah,
Kombat.
Sorry, Mortal Kombat 2.
Mortal Kombat 9. Well, at first, I have to admit that I bought both the... I haven't even told you yet. I'm telling you all this for the first time.
Wait,
just told you that I bought the game on release day. I didn't tell you I got the collector's edition on the day of release and then got the tournament edition in the mail.
Wait, what's the difference?
The collector's edition comes with like two bookends that have like Scorpion
God,
and Subway.
And you bought two copies of the PS.
I got two game copies. Well, here's
and
my
the
logic.
Xbox? So did you seriously have three copies of
no,
the
I don't,
game?
No, I don't have the Xbox for
it. Oh, I thought you bought the Xbox One too.
No, I just have.
We're going to return it or something.
I have two for PlayStation because I wanted the day that it came out and then I was going to just return the copy. This is my logic though. The joystick that comes with the tournament edition is $130 by itself.
Yeah.
If I buy the tournament edition for $150 and sell one copy of the game for $50, I've saved $30 on the joystick as far as I see it.
Okay, yeah, that's worth it.
And I have my buddy Richard is agreeing. He's gonna buy the game. So
oh, okay, yeah. So this is if you have a buddy that's already gonna buy the game from you.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You couldn't return that to EB or GameStop and get that much.
I thought that was gonna be an option, but it didn't come wrapped in plastic, so I was like, oh no.
Really?
Well, it was inside the Tournament Edition box, which was wrapped in plastic, right?
Oh, okay.
So I thought I might be able to just take it back and say, oh no, I decided it's unopened, but it was open. So
yeah,
I was like, oh, I'm screwed. But yeah, I knew I wouldn't have a problem selling it. So anyway, so aside from that, I have the collector's edition and the tournament edition. I got the big joystick that's just like the original arcade machine. And I'm so impressed with Mortal Kombat. I'm so impressed. It's the best fan service I've ever seen in a game in the sense of giving us what we've wanted for 10 years for Mortal Kombat. Like what we had in Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3. Ideally, let's say 3.
Yeah.
You know, back when it was still 2D, they go back to 2D fighting, just like Street Fighter did, back to 2D fighting. Well, I guess Street Fighter's always been 2D. So
there's still 3D moments in it, though, right?
Not in Mortal Kombat, no. They don't have any of the kick, and then you move towards the screen.
No, in terms of, you know, when you go into those super moves and it starts breaking bones, like, is that considered 3D? Because it kind of shifts the camera?
Yeah, it shifts the camera a little bit, yeah. But the gameplay
itself...
That's
what itself, I meant by some 3D moments.
Right, yeah. The graphics are 3D, yeah. But the game itself, the gameplay is pure 2D fighting, right back to old school Mortal Kombat. Feels like playing old school Mortal Kombat. You got test your might stuff. You've got little guy coming in going whoopsie when you uppercut people. You've got I got hidden fighters. All of a sudden I had you've unlocked a hidden fight and I had to fight a guy that kicked my ass. I was like, whoa, what was that?
Nice.
Didn't know that. Lots of hidden things. Babalities are apparently in there. I haven't seen one yet. You got your fatalities back. You know,
yeah, I've seen all the fatalities and babalities. It got released the other day on
you watched
G4.
Them all?
Yeah, I watched them, man.
Oh, cool.
They're fascinating.
I know, they're really entertaining. I love the fatalities. And
I have to say, the arcade stick is top notch, man.
Yeah, I love it.
From what I haven't actually used it yet, but just getting a feel for it and testing out how the controls felt. And just how heavy it is and that felt on the bottom, I seriously think it would be fine on your lap.
Oh, man, I've got serious issues with my joints and stuff. You know that. And I put that thing on my lap for three, four hours, and I've had no
issues. Actually play with it on your lap?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, that's the most comfortable way to play it for sure. But I would love to be standing up with it on a table.
That obviously, yeah. That would be awesome.
And one day, if I ever get that, that'd be great.
But how long are you going to be able to stand for?
Yeah, that's true. But anyways, it's excellent. The game is perfect. I have no complaints. I love how you can go through the arcade mode and get a custom ending for each character, just like you could in the original ones.
Yeah.
It's so much solo content, so much to do. The great story mode. The story is better than any of the Mortal Kombat movies.
Well, from what you said, the story mode is pretty much all three games in one, right?
Yeah, it spans if you're familiar with the lore of Mortal Kombat, the little that there was, they would play like little cinematic sequence to the opening titles of the game if you weren't playing it on the arcade machine. If you actually did read that story, you'll recognize things. You'd be like, wow, they worked that in. Like how Shang Tsung was an old man in the first game. Well, for the first hour or two of the campaign, Shang Tsung's an old man, and then you defeat him and you go through Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to be the end of the story mode, and all of a sudden it's beginning of Mortal Kombat 2.
That's awesome.
And then all of a sudden the Quan Chi stuff comes in later, which is all the Mortal Kombat 3 when they decide to do an invasion instead of a tournament. And
that's very cool, man.
Yeah, it's way better than any of the movies. It's way better, like, you know, in terms of story. The voice acting's great. I love it. I can't say it. I could sit here and talk about it for a while. I would love to comment on how it is online, but
can't do that because you got it on PlayStation.
Yeah, PlayStation, so I can't play online. So
I wonder when you're going to be able to again.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm more concerned about losing the deed to my house now. But so Portal 2.
Yeah, let's get into Portal 2. We picked up Portal 2 for the Xbox. Those don't know, I have no idea how you don't know what Portal's about, but it is the most ingenious puzzle game ever made.
It's a mind fuck for sure.
It is such a mind fuck, dude.
I loved watching it. Like, Kelsey had never seen it before. My girlfriend Kelsey had never seen it before. And I love just watching her reactions to, wait, what? What's going on?
What is going on?
It's so weird to watch the portals. I'm like, look, I'm putting a portal up there, then on the roof, and then I'm putting a portal on the wall. When I walk through the wall, I fall through the roof. She's like, what?
Or even just explaining to them how if you put a portal on the floor and then jump from 30 feet, the velocity of you going through that portal sends you flying out the other portal, no matter where it is, you know. And
she got it after, you know, a couple minutes, but I'm just saying it was really funny to watch somebody else's watch the external of what I remember experiencing the first time I played Portal, which is like this is breaking my brain. I don't really know how this works, but
I love it, dude. For the first time ever, I like puzzle games, but it's more in the solving those puzzles is what the enjoyment comes from. But in Portal, it seems like you have fun at all times. I'm having fun as I'm solving the puzzles.
Just,
you know what I mean?
Just executing the solutions.
Just executing the solutions, exactly. Like, I love just walking into a room and going, okay, taking like a few minutes, going, okay, where do we have to get to? Oh, okay, way up there. Let's see how we're going to do that. And then just, you know, organically trying to figure it out as we're going along. Me and Derek are playing through co-op right now.
And I was going to say, that experience you're talking about executing the solutions is 10 times more fun with a friend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And even co-op makes it even that much more fun.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so entertaining to solve these puzzles together. When you do it, it's better than just doing it by yourself. You get a little bit.
How many moments have we had where both of us at the exact same time just clicked into what we were supposed to do? And both are like, oh, yeah, this is what we got to do.
Yeah, yeah. You can just see, like, both brains are going through the same logic. Yeah. Wait, no, if I do this, and then it's like, bing. It's like within a second, we're realizing what to do. And then both our guys just run off and start doing it. It's crazy, yeah.
And as for the single player, the story is awesome. Steve Merchant from, you know, he's been in things such as, he was one of the creators of the original Office, the UK version.
And Extras. Ricky Gervais Show.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais Show. He's Ricky Gervais' partner, pretty much.
Yeah.
And brilliant in this game.
He's so funny.
So funny, dude.
I love the line when he says, he's like, you might be brain damaged, but don't be alarmed. Unless you are alarmed, stay alarmed, because that would be the proper reaction for somebody that's just told they had brain damage. So, I love the little corpse of logic like that.
Yeah. Or when he tells you to he's trying to teach you how to speak, and you end up jumping. He's like, okay, well, you jump there. That was a jump.
So funny. Yeah, no, it's genuinely entertaining. How far into the single player have you got yet?
I think I'm on chapter 4 now, I think.
Okay, so you're ahead of me.
Slightly.
So yeah. I loved the reintroduction of GLaDOS. I thought that was awesome.
So awesome.
So the story is interesting. It's really great solving all these puzzles in the broken.
I love how the story's told, though. Like, you're still doing these tests and these puzzles.
Everything's broken now. It's all like, it's been, I don't want to, it's thousands of years have passed and you're coming out. It's really cool.
Yeah, very cool. I can't say enough about Portal, man.
Only complaint is that it's going to be over soon, and then there's nothing left to do.
But you know, I still think that, you know, if I was to go back to Portal 1 right now, I don't think I would necessarily remember those puzzles. Mm-hmm. And it'd kind of be like playing it through again. So I'm sure if we gave Portal 2 even 6 months to a year, we could go back and play it no problem.
And there will be expansions, for sure.
And there'll be expansions, you know, which is yeah, definitely looking forward to. But yeah, too short is my only complaint about this game.
Well, we don't know that yet.
Well, you know, from everything I heard, it's pretty short. It's not a long game.
The single player is 9 chapters, so you're still not even halfway through the game.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm a fan of games that take 8 to 10 hours. If it's 8 to 10 hours, that is the right length for a single player campaign, in my opinion.
As long as it's replayable.
As long as it's replayable, I guess that's true. It's not really worth $60 if it's not. But
yeah, I think it was definitely worth a full game price this time around. You know, the first time it was included in Orange Box is meant as like just this kind of little add-on, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even meant to be a full game, and it turned out to be the best thing about Orange Box, you know, easily.
There's no Team Fortress 3.
No, yeah, that's true.
You know, that's my point. It was the one that got the sequel out of that.
Speaking of Team Fortress, one of our forum members, Spouse, one of his prizes was to play some games with us. And unfortunately, the only thing he has is PC. And unfortunately, I don't PC game at all anymore. And after my experience last weekend, I know why. Like, just the freezing issues, the waiting issues, the ping issues. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. And going back to Team Fortress 2, if you haven't played Team Fortress 2 in a while, I have no idea what the fuck is going on, man.
Yeah, it's totally a different game now.
Oh, it's such a different game now in terms of everything, it seems. Yeah, I had a lot of trouble trying to reorientate myself and, you know, and try to figure out what was going on. And that was trying to deal with my 150 to 170 ping I was getting and this super lag.
You're playing on wireless?
No, at first I was playing on wireless, and then I plugged into my hardline, and that didn't make it any better. Actually, I think I was making it worse.
That's weird.
And just, and that's why I don't PC game. I don't have those issues when I'm on my Xbox. Like, you know, even communicating with Spouse, you know, alt-tabbing out and just to get to the box and fucking that would take forever because I was in the middle of shooting or something, so my computer's lagging because it's not, you know, I was gaming on my laptop. It's a gaming laptop, but still, it's not a desktop, like super powerful desktop that's going to pump that shit out no problem, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but Spouse has been asking on the board, so what kind of 360 should I get?
Because I think I convinced him at the end of the day. I'm like, dude, you should just get an Xbox. You can get one for under $200, and, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, now he's asking around which one should I get and stuff, and I've been giving him advice. So.
Hilarious.
That's funny. I think he may want to be cashing on that prize still.
Fuck, who cares, man?
On 360,
I'll play with him, man. If he wants to play on 360, I got no problem playing with him on 360. So there's kind of a thread on our forums about piracy that I wouldn't mind kind of touching on again. We've talked about it on this podcast a few times, but there seems to be it was kind of weird, at least on our forums. There's a lot of anti-piracy, it seemed. Mm-hmm. in that thread, and I don't know, I, like I said, I don't necessarily have a problem with it as long as you kind of follow some general rules, you know. If you do like something, you should go out and buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, if I like some music, I got no problem going on iTunes and buying it. You know, before torrents and all that shit existed, was you had to go to the store and purchase this fucking CD in hopes that over 50% of the songs are good, you know?
Right.
Now you don't have to do that. You can just download the entire album, check out what songs you like, and go pick that shit up on iTunes.
Yeah.
And in terms of TV series, they offer that stuff free online the next day anyway. You know, and people say, well, they still want to see you coming to the websites. I could tell you for a fact that networks don't really give a shit about their numbers online. They still want to see you watching that shit live.
Right.
And even PVRing doesn't really work either. Like, you can PVR something. If you don't, they stop counting those numbers after 7 days. Like, if you haven't watched it within 7 days, that doesn't count anymore.
Right.
And even those PVR numbers, for some reason, the ones that count don't mean as much as the live shit because of the whole advertising thing. Because they know if you're PVRing it, you're fast forwarding through the advertising.
Right.
You know, that's why you're doing it.
Yeah.
So the only thing that really matters to networks is the live shit. And I refuse to watch stuff live. We're not dinosaurs anymore, you know? We live in an age where it's so easy to just bypass all the stuff you don't want to watch, like commercials.
You're talking about watching. I thought you were talking like live. I'm like what, sports, like live events? But you're talking about actually being broadcast.
Yeah, sorry. As the show is being broadcast, like if you're to watch, they want you watching The Office Thursday nights at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they want you watching that shit. They don't want you watching it on the website the next day. They don't want you PVRing it and watching it the next day.
Right.
They want you watching it live because they know for a fact then that you are watching the commercials, or at least the commercials are being broadcast. You know what I mean?
Right.
And which I think is bullshit, and they need to get with the times or they're going to die out.
Well, the only way they're going to get with the times is by putting product placement inside the show itself, which could make them terrible.
I don't have a problem with it as long as it's subtle, you know, and it's not thrown in your face.
Yeah, neither do I. I mean, like, so if Jim on The Office is drinking a can of Coke, honestly,
yeah, exactly,
really doesn't bother me at all. As long as he's not like, man, Coke is delicious. Anyways, yeah. Pam, you know,
exactly.
Like, yeah,
you know what I mean. So, and that's the only way they're going to get around it, and eventually they're going to have to.
I don't know if it'll stay subtle though. That's the thing.
Well, I don't know. It all depends on what kind of shows. I guarantee you, the average sitcom with laugh tracks, no way, they'll have that right in your face, man.
Yeah,
you know. But other shows like could you imagine Ricky Gervais doing intentional fucking plugs, man? There's no way. Like a show like The Extras or The Office and Extras and shit. There's no way.
Yeah, no, it's true.
It would be way more subtle.
The way that the show should be trying to make money is producing the content, giving away the content for free, and then selling it on DVD afterwards. If your show's good enough,
exactly,
I will buy your DVD. I am getting Community on DVD because it's the most brilliant show on TV.
Your fans will want that shit because they'll want to see the deleted scenes, the commentary, the interviews with the cast, you know, shit like that. And I'm going to be going to pick up Community for sure, too.
Pure Ownage proved that it's a viable business model.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how Pure Ownage made all their money, was through merchandising. There was no advertising dollars anywhere.
Well, but then they sold the content eventually on DVD as well, right?
Yeah.
And that should be the end goal. You make content good enough. And that's really the whole concept of piracy. We steal it so that we can look at it and we go, man, that's really good. I'm going to get it. And there's also an ethical decision as to how much do you need to support that artist. You know, if it's somebody that's starving because you're not paying them, you should probably pay them. But if it's somebody like Britney Spears, you know what? Honestly, I don't got a lot of guilt. I'm not going to be downloading Britney Spears anyways, right?
Yeah.
But there's no way I'm not buying a Tool album, right? Not that Tool's starving, but I will get so much more
with a Tool album. You know what I mean? Like, the album art alone is worth picking up the album.
Sad that
you know?
In that we're like the last generation to have to care about album art, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Although Kelsey was telling me that vinyl is saving the music industry.
Yeah, there's a lot of music enthusiasts that go vinyl, man.
And
vinyl is still profitable.
Yeah, it is, and it's got a good collector's thing going for it and everything.
A lot of artists, in fact, will only put out vinyl.
You can't steal vinyl.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No one's getting a record burner at their house.
Oh, that would be funny.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention, I went into EB Games the other day. I was looking at some prices on used games and shit. And TDU2... Test Drive Unlimited 2, which I don't know if you're still a fan of or not. I haven't seen you playing it in a while, but...
No, I can't play it anymore.
But it's so cheap right now. Like so many other games that are way older than it are more expensive, which goes to show that obviously nobody is playing this fucking game anymore, man. If why aren't you playing it?
Well, like here's why. You can't play the game online. So I finished most of the single player stuff, and now I can't seem to get any. I can't get any matches going online. I got one of two problems. I go in, I do a random hookup, and then I have no idea what race I'm doing. I have no idea if I should be using a dirt car, a C level car, an A level car.
Doesn't show you at all.
Doesn't tell you what the restrictions are. And if you take the time to try to go to the part of the interface that does tell you what the course is, the host starts the game, and you haven't had time to change your car. So there's no ready flag. There's no way to say I'm ready.
So the host
now
can start it at any time as soon as you join into the lobby.
Right.
He can go.
The only time he can't start it is when you're picking the car. So the first thing I do is run over to my car and start picking my car, even though I don't know. But once you're picking your car, you have no way to see what type of race you're doing.
Oh, man.
So it's like, it's really hard. And then so I went onto the forums, the Test Drive Unlimited forums, and made posts in both the help section and the general section saying, somebody explain to me what I'm not getting here. Like, why didn't they put a ready flag in, and why didn't they put the type of race at the top? Those two very tiny things would fix all the problems with the game. And I was like, what am I missing? I must just not be getting it, right? And the only reply I got was, yeah, it's impossible to get a multiplayer game going in this. That's the only thing anybody said back to me.
Wow.
They said, if you do the club-ranked races, then you can easily get a game going, and they're really fun. So if you're part of a club...
you've got to get into a club.
Yeah, and every club I join kicks me out.
So, brutal.
Yeah, no, so I'm not done with it. I'm not saying I'm never going to throw it in again, but it's pretty much just a single-player game for me now.
Wow, man.
That's really sad, because I was so excited about that game for years.
You were. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with it other than these two tiny things. Ready flag, course information
at
the top
of
the screen.
Those do make it unplayable.
Yeah.
There's no way I would play a game.
And how long do you think it would take a programmer to put those features into the game?
Oh, not long at all.
Like a day.
But why aren't they included in the first place? How is anybody at fucking...
Atari
playing that game and not making that realization?
You know, because they're playing.
Because they're
clubs.
Playing. Yeah,
they're
I guess
playing
so.
With their friends. It's one of the things about being a programmer. I have some experience with it. You get blinders, and you can't see the proper
you
way
only,
to test your
you
server.
Only see it as you play the game.
Exactly, and it's the same thing with any software. When you're the developer of the software, you get into test patterns. And I mean, over the decade that I've been doing software development, I've started to learn how to get outside my blinders. Right.
Yeah.
I'm getting better at it, but I mean, it's a problem that I think all programmers face, and that's why they're supposed to be testing suites. There's supposed to be like 100 people that are doing nothing but testing your game. They have nothing to do with building it. They're just testers.
Yeah.
That's why you have that team of people. They're very important, and underpaid, I'm sure. But yeah.
Brutal, man.
It's a sad story. It's a sad story of a company, of a development team not getting the budget they needed on their game. That's what it is. But aside from that, that was the month downage. They didn't get the development budget they needed. And then now, these problems that I'm finding now, there's no excuse for. That's just stupidity.
Yeah, I'd say so. Man, another thing I find kind of stupid lately, and I know I might personally get a lot of hate for this, for defending Call of Duty, but I don't understand the hate for that game, and that so many people have. First of all, I can understand if you don't like it, that's totally fine, but to continue hating on it just seems bizarre to me. If you don't like the game, I've said it before, go play something else, And now everyone bitching out their ass about the price of these DLCs that they're releasing. 1,200 points for 4 maps and a zombie level. To me, that equates... So what's 1,200 points is like, what, $15?
Mm-hmm.
$15. And for me, that is easily over 20 hours of gameplay. Easily.
Just on those maps.
Just on those maps alone. I could play for over 20 hours. So I got no problem paying $15 for 20 hours of gameplay. I have a big problem paying $60 for a single player campaign that is under 20 hours. I shouldn't say that, because then we love Portal 2.
Yeah.
But okay, what I'm saying is, a lot of people out there have no problem paying $60 for a single player campaign that's under 20 hours, but they will refuse to pay $15 for four new maps. And this is if you like COD. I'm not saying if you don't like COD, of course you're not going to like the price of their DLCs. Why would you? I mean, you shouldn't even be playing the game. You know? But the guys that like Black Ops, if you like Black Ops and you're still playing Black Ops, you're going to easily put in more than 20 hours on those four maps.
Yeah.
So why are you bitching? I don't get it.
They probably, I don't think people understand the amount of work that goes into making a map.
That alone, and you know, it's not like these maps were done when they released Black Ops.
Yeah.
What, they seriously don't want more content for their game that they love,
and your
for the game that they're playing?
Your game still works fine without them.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to buy the DLCs.
Yeah.
So, man, it's $15. Get over it, I guess, yeah, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, seriously, quit your bitching.
There's plenty of, you know, fuck, yeah, I don't know, man. It really seems bizarre to me. But let's wrap this shit up.
All right, yeah.
Oh, I just want to say real quick, though, Vampire Smile, loving it.
Yeah,
fucking
Vampire
love
Smiles
that
incredible.
Shit. We haven't played co-op yet, man.
Yeah, we haven't.
We got to get on that, though.
That's weird. I finished one of the campaigns.
Vampire Smile, it was an indie Xbox Live Arcade release. It's fucking awesome. It's dark. It's disturbing. It's like it's a hack and slash, but it's more than just a regular hack and slash. Like, there's a lot of combos and shit like that.
It's very satisfying. You feel like
very satisfying.
When you kill a guy, you're like, oh yeah, I executed that well.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly,
yeah.
Man.
The controls are fantastic. And
so yeah, if you want to pay, I guess $15, under $15, isn't it 800 points?
I don't think so. No, I think it's 1,200.
Is it 1,200? Regardless, it's either $10 or $15 for a full price game. And there's so much content in this game.
Ridiculous.
Oh my God, there's so much shit to do.
Two campaigns.
Co-op
campaign.
Multiplayer. Then there's all these.
Oh wait, both campaigns can be played co-op, and the story sequences change when you're in co-op. The story,
oh,
the
really?
Cinematics are different when you're in co-op.
Nice,
yeah.
That's cool, man. But then there's other things like I can't remember what they're called. These like test levels or. Not test levels.
What were they called?
I can't remember. Anyway, all you got to know, tons of fucking content.
Just little challenge levels.
Yeah,
they're very short,
level.
Too. I don't know if you tried anything.
Yeah,
they're
a
couple minutes long. Yeah.
Yeah, but still, I mean, there's fucking 50 of them, I think.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, lots of content, awesome story, cheap. You can't bitch about that.
And like, and the flavor of the game, if Marilyn Manson was going to make a game, this would be it. That's how
messed up. And Tool scored it.
And Tool scored it, exactly. It's like, it's brilliant to listen to and messed up to watch, man. Like, weird stuff happens. I don't know. You're doing the dishwasher campaign, right?
I started on the dishwasher and then I went back to the prisoner.
Oh,
so
cool.
I'm working through the prisoner again. But yeah, let's get some co-op going. I'd love to see what co-op's like in that.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Bitches.
Bitches.
We're out of here. Go check out our sponsor's webpage, rip10.com. We got a tons of cool gaming stuff over there. And it's the site's it's well put together.
The site looks the headline of their site right now is, Sony admits PSN was attacked. Personal information was compromised. Shit has hit the fan.
Shit has hit the fan. You got that right, man.
Oh, shit yeah. Hits fan hard. That's what it said.
All right, everybody. Take it easy. We'll talk to you next week. I'm Joel F. Gardner.
I'm Derek Sweet.
And this was Stuck in the Middle Somewhere.
Later.